I made a substantial amount of money during my boxing career, and wow, it's gone. I had lots of cars, I had lots of things, all gone. You know, at the same time, I would give up all those things to be rid of him, and that was a good exchange for me.
That's Christy Martin. From 1990 to 1998, she never lost a prize fight. She was a world champion. She was featured on the cover of Sports Illustrated. Today, she's credited with bringing women's boxing into the mainstream. Before that, Martin was the daughter of a coal miner from a small town in West Virginia. She moved to Tennessee, where she was introduced to a boxing trainer named Jim Martin, who would change her life. Christy Martin tells her story in her own words.
I ended up having a relationship with Jim Martin, really because we were both new to the area. I told him about my past girlfriends. I told him about my sexual orientation. In the long run, he used all that against me. We ended up getting married because he told me that my father had told him that he didn't want me back if I was going to choose to be with a woman. So I kind of panicked. I didn't want my family to have to go through the whole turmoil of me being a lesbian. And I really just married him to protect my family and to make them happy. As I got older, I realized everything he said basically was a lie, except he told me from day one, even before I married him, that he would kill me if ever I left. When he said this, it was with such conviction that I did believe it. So I lived with that. My boxing career really started to grow as the relationship began. And, you know, it was a crazy feeling to be promoted by Don King. I'm a girl from southern West Virginia, about 500 people in my little town. A few years later, I'm on the cover of Sports Illustrated, did the Jay Leno show. Just walking down Rodeo Drive in California, people would come out of the Versace store and ask for my autograph. And I'm like, you see stars all the time, so why would you come out and ask me for my autograph? The bigger and more well-known that I got through boxing, really the more power and control it gave him, because he knew that I just couldn't afford to come out as a lesbian at that time. I couldn't leave him because he would ruin my career. King still kept putting me on pay-per-view shows. I fought on cards with not only Tyson, but Chavez, Trinidad, so many Hall of Famers. But my career grew, and then, like all careers, you know, I started on the downside. And I didn't re-sign with King in 2001. And I started to pursue fights on my own. I started using cocaine in, like, 07 or something. And I used cocaine every day. I woke up with it. I took pills to go to bed. Sometimes that would be up 2 or 3 days. I never left my house. I wouldn't even walk to my mailbox at the end of my driveway because I didn't want anyone to see me high. So I was embarrassed at what I was doing, but at least when I was high, I was in my own place. I didn't have to deal with him. I was videotaped, audio taped 24/7 in my house. If I went to Walmart, he showed up. If I went to get my nails done, he showed up. So my personal life was just hell. I reconnected with Sherry through Facebook maybe in March of 2010. We were a couple in high school. I hadn't been out of my house hardly in 3 or 4 years. So I was like, no, I'm going to shower. I'm going to get ready. And I'm gonna go see her. It was like we had never been apart for one day. I told Sherry about everything that was happening because I was pretty certain he was going to kill me. So I wanted somebody to really know the truth. I just went home. I had a sick feeling the whole way there. I went back because, number one, it was my house. Well, maybe that's number two. I knew that I had to live through whatever he was going to dish out to me in order to ever be free. I was never going to be able to just walk out of that relationship. And the truth is, I was so low after being on coke for so long that I really was ready to die. I told him I had a terrible headache. I needed to lay down. And the entire time I was laying down, I could hear him on the phone being very loud, calling my family members, calling friends, telling everybody that I had left him for a woman and that I had been a lesbian my entire life, and just, you know, on and on. But the whole time he was sharpening a knife. Finally, he stops talking. He stops sharpening the knife, and he comes in the room. There was no argument. He's standing there, and starts reaching behind his back, And finally, I said, "What are you going to do, kill me?" And I looked behind his back, and he had a knife stuck down his pants. He started to stab me. And even though I had just seen the knife, I didn't realize he had stabbed me the first, like, four times until he stabbed me in my breast. And when he stabbed me in my breast, the, like, blood started squirting everywhere. So I kicked at him. We started fighting. But at that moment, I said to him in more words that I can't say on the radio, but, "You cannot kill me." I think he cut himself when he stabbed me, so he kind of had to get up and leave me and tend to his own wound. You know, I'm just laying on the floor and begging him to get me help. Finally, he comes in, stands at my feet, and shoots me with my own 9mm. Thank God he missed my heart by like 3 inches. I must have passed out because he went to get in the shower. But some way, by the grace of God, I heard that shower start. And when I heard it start, I got up, I don't know how, and ran out of the house. Tried to flag down the first car that passed by. Rick Cole was my angel that night, and he stopped to pick me up. And he called 911 and drove me to the hospital. I was in the gym the day after I got out of the hospital, and that was only like 8 days. I still had many, many stitches in my leg. The bullet was still in my back. I had stitches in my head, but the place I felt safe was back in the boxing ring. After the attack, I was, I was a much better fighter. I was more rounded. I sat down with Bob Arum and negotiated my own contract. Got more than Jim had negotiated with King. In the fight, I broke my hand in like 9 places. And they put me to sleep to have my hand fixed for what was supposed to be 2 hours. It ended up being 7 hours. And when I woke up, I had had a stroke. You know, I couldn't walk. I couldn't talk. I did have one fight after that, and I lost to a total bum. And then I knew my career was over. You know, I'm still angry that I ended on that note. Today, I substitute teach, and I enjoy that very much. I enjoy being with the kids. You know, I still try to hang around the gym as much as I can. I try to stay busy because quiet time still isn't good for me. Sherry stood by me during my hardest times of my life, what I hope is definitely the hardest times of my life. I love her. I don't really care who knows or what people say. When I'm able to share my story, I feel like that if I can just reach one person can help another person, and then, you know, maybe that person can help someone else, and, you know, it can just keep going on and on. And I did have a woman come to me, I think it was in Raleigh, and after I spoke, and she said, "Wow, I have to do something today, don't I?" And I said, "Yes, ma'am." You know, you cannot wait one more day because you never know when that last day is going to come.
That's former boxer Christy Martin. She now goes by her maiden name, Christy Salters. Salters is currently working as a full-time substitute teacher in Charlotte, North Carolina. She's also started her own boxing promotion company called Pink Promotions. Jim Martin is currently serving a 25-year prison sentence in Florida. Our story was produced by Martin Kessler and mixed by George Hicks in collaboration with Sports Illustrated, which profiled Christy Salters in their 2016 Where Are They Now issue, available now. We'll be bringing you one more story from Sports Illustrated's Where Are They Now special issue next week, but you can hear it first at si.com/WATN.